Yeah. Okay, very good. We're going to start our last agenda item for today, and...
That's still in Garfo's hand. The rule has been approved, we're just waiting implementation on that. And that pretty much gives us our update. I do want to take a quick minute, if I could, just to thank the Groundfish staff, Dr. Cornan, Robin Friede, and Angela Forstall for all their hard work getting us to the point where we are now with Framework 65. There's been a tremendous amount of difficulties, issues, delays, so on, that you've all heard about. I'm not going to go back into them, but the staff handled them very gracefully and diligently and got us to where we are now. The whole PDT worked really, really hard to get a lot of the information to the committee to look at. And I also want to thank the committee for some very long meetings. They were not short this go around, and appreciate all your patience. So with that said, hopefully we can work our way through this document and get it finalized today. I'm going to pass over to Dr. Cornan to start her presentation. It's going to be broken up into pieces, working around the different committee motions that we have. And so that's all for me. Dr. Cornan, are you ready?
Thank you. I have a brief presentation under each topic for Framework Adjustment 65. We'll work section by section. I'll cover the main points, and then we'll pause. I'll turn it back over to Mr. Bellavance, and he'll present the committee's motion, if there is a motion in that section. If you have motions relevant to that section, we ask that you bring them up at that time. So we're going to move section by section through the decision document with a brief overview in each. So today, your purpose is to take final action on Framework Adjustment 65, which is to set specifications and management measures. The scope includes fishing year specifications for the next 3 years, as well as revising the rebuilding plan for Gulf of Maine cod. It also includes recommendations on TACs for U.S. Canada stocks, a Georges Bank cod catch target, and additional measures to promote stock rebuilding for Georges Bank cod. The committee did not develop measures in two sections. The objectives here are to meet regulatory requirements to prevent overfishing, ensure rebuilding, and help achieve OY in both the recreational and commercial fisheries. And these are the two sections that the committee did not complete work on. There's a recommendation in one and one for consideration today. And that includes revisions to ABC controls and additional commercial and recreational management measures to promote stock rebuilding of Gulf of Maine cod. Other sections do have alternatives for your consideration today and discussion. We completed draft impacts analysis for all of the sections that did have alternatives. They are largely qualitative, and we also received quantitative analysis yesterday. We have the quota change model results for you for specifications as well. With respect to the timeline, this action started well back at the beginning of this year with the completion of the Gulf of Maine haddock research track, leading all the way up to today, where you're scheduled to take final action. We anticipate this action to be in place by May 1st, assuming we can prepare the document in time and submit it on schedule that you see laid out in front of you. All right, now to the first action. So the first thing up is the formal rebuilding plan for Gulf of Maine cod. In this section, there is an alternative with three options, options A, B, and C. What those options share is they all have a 10-year rebuilding plan horizon time. What they differ from is the percent of FMSY that would be used to set the F rebuild in the rebuilding period. They all use the constant ABC, the set already for the last fishing cycle, by the SSC's recommendations, and that would be 551 for fishing year 2023 and 2024, and then this F rate would kick in. They each have a varying rate of probability of achieving BMSY. In general, the lower the F rate, the higher the probability of achieving. In this table, which you see taken from the decision document, it summarizes the preferences of the APs as well as the committee. In this case, the recreational advisors, they preferred option B, 70% FMSY for the F rebuild for the next 10 years. And the committee also preferred this. The AP did not have a quorum, but those that were in the room, they discussed this as well, and they supported option B, and they also felt like option A should be considered but rejected. a few notes on that in a moment. So our standard model projections are done for two different models, the M equals 0.2 model. And as you know, the Gulf of Maine Cod assessment has two approved benchmark models, one that has the low natural mortality rate, that's this one, and the second one is the higher natural mortality rate, the MRAMP M equals 4 model we use for comparison here. Under all these scenarios that you see, except for FMSY, the stock can rebuild within the 10 years. We also did a projection, which we're required to do at F equals 0 under this model. And so what we see in these projection runs is you can rebuild the stock in less than 10 years at these various rates, but we considered other information that could extend that timeline past the 7, 8, or 9 years you saw before. So the other model is the MRAMP model, the M equals 0.4 model. That's the higher natural mortality, and it stays high during the entire projection period. Under this model, even if you don't fish, set it to 0, stock cannot rebuild. So we considered this in our calculations when we said, well, maybe we can extend to this 10-year considering this uncertainty in natural mortality and the low recruitment as well. We presented all this work to the SSC for feedback, and they agreed with us, the plan development team, on using the current fishing year's quotas that we have already in place through the last management action, supported the 10-year rebuilding plan time horizon given the uncertainties. And we also asked them about the uncertainty of stock structure, and their point there was, you know, you're going to have to pivot when we get that research track, but for now use the current stock structure as your basis for developing the plan. All that's been incorporated into those options. And this is just a quick summary. I've already provided this of what the recreational advisory panel was saying, option B. And then the advisors, again, at the time, they didn't have a quorum at that meeting, but those that were in the room, they supported option B, and they did not want to consider option A any further. And so that leaves me with the decision document in front of you again. And at this point, I can turn it over for questions and then to Chairman Bellavance for a motion from the committee.
Okay. Any questions for Dr. Cornan at this point from the council? Anyone from the public? Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a motion from the committee. I think Joan is going to put it up. Yep, there it is. So I move on behalf of the committee that the council selects as preferred under section 4.1, action 1, formal rebuilding plan for the Gulf of Maine cod stock, alternative 2, revised rebuilding strategy for Gulf of Maine cod, option B, T target of 10 years, rebuilding by 2033, and F rebuild of 70% FMSY equals 0.121. which results in a 62% probability of achieving BMSY.
Okay, it's a committee motion, does not need a second. Do you have any rationale, Mr. Bellavance, or you want to just let it roll?
We can just let it roll, see if the council has any
very good
comments.
Motion on the board. Any discussion from the council? Seeing none, I'm going to go to the public. I have Mr. Testaverde and then Ms. Odell. He might be muted. Hang on, Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Tom Testaverde, Gloucester, Mass, fishing vessel, Midnight Sun. I'm just curious, I remember I touched base on this the other day. I didn't really get an answer on the mortality rate on the cod with the Loxa traps interactions and how that's going to be factored into this, because it's, you know, we've been rebuilding cod for the past, what, 22 years, if not more, and it's not getting better. And the two main factors that I see is the warm in the water and the lobster traps. I have proof. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen the cod in the traps when they come up on my doors. Sometimes when I get into them, they catch them. And you know, I just want to know how that's being factored into all this. But in the Gulf of Maine and on Georgia's Bank, and I have crew members on my boat who are lobstermen, who used to lobster fish, and they tell me they've seen it. I've talked to them. That's my question.
Thank you for your question. And we did see your question in the chat during the meeting, and sorry we had some connection issues with you. I think you were fishing. We do not consider lobster bycatch in the cod assessments. It is something that the research track working group, which is underway for Atlantic cod, is thinking about. They're thinking about lots of different sources of mortality in the next generation of the stock assessments. So these current assessments do not include them in the stock assessment or the catch accounting.
Am I still on?
Mr. Testaverde?
Yep, I hear you.
Are you all
okay,
set?
That'll okay, be it. Yep, I'm all set.
Ms. O'Dell, to the motion on the board, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jackie O'Dell, Northeast Seafood Coalition, wanted to make sure that we supported this motion. There was a really good discussion in regards to this motion at the committee level that spoke a little bit about how this, in combination with the constant catch, actually is more conservative than the 70% FMSY. And I think that was a very important point to make. And I also just wanted to say this is not only meeting Magnuson, it's above the 50% probability of achieving BMSY at 62%, but it takes into account the needs of both the commercial recreational fishery and offers a bridge plan until the research track on cod is completed. And, a new rebuilding plan would be created, so probably within the next few years now. So wanted to speak in support of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Dell. Ms. Lorenz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Allison Lorenz with Conservation Law Foundation. CLF opposes this motion. It can't be stressed enough that this is the third rebuilding plan for Gulf of Maine cod, and we really want the council to get it right this time. 75% FMSY only has a probability of success 4% higher than 75% FMSY, which is akin to no action. We do not believe that that is a strong enough probability, especially without additional measures to support rebuilding. In Framework 65, the fishing mortality rate is the only tool the council currently has to make sure that this is a strong rebuilding plan for Gulf of Maine cod. And with that in mind, we believe strongly that a rebuild of 50% FMSY is the best way forward. This has a 77% probability of success, and we think it is logical to achieve to reach for a higher probability given that this is the third rebuilding plan. We're mindful of the short-term economic concerns associated with 50% FMSY, but even under this option, catch will almost double come 2025. Also, the economic analysis in council materials notes a key consideration about the long-term economic benefits associated with the rebuilt stock compared to potential costs of having to do this again in another 10 years, which I think is the last thing that any of us want to do. And lastly, just given the numerous uncertainties surrounding cod, including the inability of the stock to rebuild under the MRAP model, the uncertainties around recruitment and natural mortality, that, in our opinion, only strengthens the need to go with a more conservative approach. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lorenz. Anyone else from the public? Back to the council. Any further discussion on the motion on the board? Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to begin with a process question here. So in the framework, we have a range of alternatives of Fs between 50% FMSY and 75% FMSY. And I just want to understand, do we have the leeway here in our decision-making today to select a value that is in between those, but not specifically evaluated in the framework document that we have before us?
I'm going to turn to Attorney McDonald on that one, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the council has, in the past, for different issues, considered alternatives that fall within a range of alternatives that have already been analyzed and discussed in the document. And in this instance, there is a range of between 0.5 and 0.75 that have been analyzed. It's arguable that one that falls in the middle is within that range and reasonably so.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thank you for that. Given that, I share some of the concerns that have been raised by the public regarding the rebuilding strategy for Gulf of Maine cod. I'm mindful of comments that the GAP made regarding the 50% FMSY alternative should not be considered. I agree with that, but I think something of a more cautious approach is appropriate with a Gulf of Maine cod rebuilding strategy. So I'll ask another question perhaps of Tom, because I know he always has a preference between whether we amend a motion or a substitute, but if I were interested in changing the target F rate to 60% of FMSY, would I do that through a motion to amend or a motion to substitute? Keeping the 10-year rebuilding program and the 2033 end date.
So you're talking about this as the preferred alternative, not
yes, sir.
Just an additional
alternative. And I've provided a motion to Joan. If it's a motion to substitute, I've provided that motion. If it's a motion to amend, I would just ask that we change the target F rate to 60%. So whatever you prefer.
I think it's easier to do as a motion to amend, but I would note that if you change the target F rate but keep the rebuilding time period the same, I think the probability of success will change. It should.
That's what I'd like to do.
So you might want to just, I don't know how to put it in a motion, but we all should acknowledge that we'll wind up, I think the PDT will wind up recalculating the probability of success here for the document.
Okay.
Unless so, Jamie has it, which I don't know if she does.
So I'd like to make a motion to amend to change the target F rate to 60% of FMSY. I believe that comes out to a F rate of 0.104, if my math is right, but Jamie can check me if I'm wrong, and if we need to strike the rebuilding probability number that's in the motion because it's changing, I would do that as well. If I get a second, I'll offer a little more rationale.
Well, why don't you read it into the record, Jeff, and we'll see if it has to be, if the numbers have to be refined. We'll see if we get a second before we do that. So go ahead.
Would you like me to read it first?
I would like you to read it first.
That the council selects as the preferred alternative under section 4.1, action 1, formal rebuilding plan for Gulf of Maine cod, alternative 2, revised building strategy for Gulf of Maine cod, option B, T target of 10 years with a rebuilding by 2023 at an F rebuild of 60% FMSY, which I believe is 0.104. I'm sorry?
2033.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Alexander, are you seconding that motion?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have a motion on the board that has a second. Mr. Smith, any additional rationale?
Just as I mentioned earlier, we've been making efforts to try to rebuild Gulf of Maine cod for some time now, and we've come up short. Spent a lot of time during the development of the framework through the committee trying to come up with additional measures to promote Gulf of Maine cod rebuilding, and we were not able to come up with any through the course of our committee work. So it feels to me that the setting of catch advice and our target F rate is the one tool that we really have in this rebuilding program to try to increase the likelihood of successful rebuilding. And as was mentioned in the audience also, I do, you know, note that this will not do anything for catch rates for 23 and 2024, but it can provide a bridge with a little bit more of a cautious approach as we await the results of the research track assessment to make its way into our assessment and management process. Thank you.
Mr. Alexander, do you have any additional rationale?
No, I'm content with Mr. Smith's rationale there.
Okay, very good. So we're going to address the motion to amend first. I'm going to go to Mr. Pentney and then Mr. Papalardo.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I raised my hand to get in the queue to speak to the original motion of the committee, which I was going to express some concerns about, and largely those were already addressed. You know, that the proposal, absent any additional measures to promote rebuilding, I think, you know, a marginal 5% decrease in the FMSY target and a 4% increase in the probability is just insufficient given where we've been with Gulf of Maine COD and the need to get rebuilding on track. Now that we have a motion to amend on the table, and for all the reasons Mr. Smith identified, I can support the motion to amend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pentney. Mr. Papalardo.
I'll pass. Thank you.
Dr. Cornain, and then anyone else from the council to address the motion to amend.
Yes, thank you. In the biological impact section, which is document 3B on page 4, the committee asked for these tables to be included for today. I don't know the exact calculation of probability of achieving BMSY, but I think it's about 70% under the scenario when I look at that table and look at the values in between. Certainly, if this passed and was put in the document and approved, the PDT would rerun that and we'd have the final number, but I think it's roughly about 70% probability of achieving BMSY. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Doctor. I have Mr. Salerno to the motion to amend.
Correct. Sorry, and I'm sorry to the maker of the motion. Maybe I missed it. I assume you're also including the constant ABC approach that has been outlined in the other options that are in the document. Okay, thank you.
Is that a yes, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Anyone else from the council to the motion to amend? Anyone from the public? Ms. O'Dell.
So can we just have some clarification, please, on what this does to the ABC? The ABC is, as is, the constant catch approach that was recommended, and the number will be what it is, but now the rebuilding plan, could we have some explanation? Could we have a little more information on what this does to the catch? Does this modify the recommendation of the constant catch? Thank you.
My understanding is it does not. My understanding is that the catch advice for fishing year 2023 and 2024 is already set and that this would be applied beginning in 2025 unless something happens with research track assessment and we get that into management. That is my understanding. I don't know if Jamie can confirm my understanding is correct or not, but that is mine.
If your intent is to place something within the range, then yes, we would be holding the first 2 years as we have them constant right now with the SEC's recommendations. And if you're looking for the actual values, they're on page 3. They would be in between these two numbers.
Okay, thanks. I think it's really important that we all know what's being voted on and how that's going to impact the recommendation of catch in the third year. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else from the public? Mr. Norton. Hang on. Have a seat. Take a breath.
Turn the mic. Yeah, Kevin Norton, Situate, Mass.
I'm just sitting here with everything that's going on, and this just seems like a last-minute thing, ditch effort here for something that we don't even understand. You know, as stakeholders here, I mean, we're doing everything we can to stay in business, and it's, you're making it sound like it's not going to change our catch this year, next year, but I don't trust. You know, it's just the way this came up last minute like this. I mean, everything like this always makes me feel a little bit, you know, slighted. So I would just like to, I hope that you understand how hard we are working with 100% coverage, with everything we're doing with Codfish, explain this before it goes through. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Gincoloni. Hang on, Vito. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Gigoloni. Just quickly, those are great questions, I think, that Jackie answered, but both of them were referring to catch. I think they meant the ABC, what impact it would have on the ABC. Would it be, Dr. Kinane mentioned that page 3, don't have that right in front of us. It would be great to see if there's any change to the SSC's recommendation to the 2023 and 2024 catch, but that's added to this this motion, so we know if there's any impact to those two. It wasn't clear to me with the questions or the responses whether that's in fact the case. And, that's basically, as far as the formal rebuilding plan, if there's only an effect starting in 2025, then, you know, we're going to have the cod structure things going on and new rebuilding plans and all of that anyway. So not sure how this would apply automatically to a Gulf of Maine stock that is redefined in its delineation. I guess that's another important question. Would this automatically apply to a new rebuilding plan that goes forward as council intent, in advance of even knowing what the new Gulf of Maine cod delineation is? And if not, then I guess in case nothing changed as on the delineations, then this would apply. That's sort of, I know that's a loaded question, but I think they're all real important for the public to understand with this change at this point in time. Thank you.
Doctor.
Yeah, thank you. So we assumed the ABCs in all of our for the next 2 years, actually this year as well, for our rebuilding plan analysis, and that's 551. What you see in the table 522, that's the ACL. So we assume in the projections that the fishery catches the full ACL. This doesn't change the ABC to 522 or anything like that. It's still the 551. It's the assumption we made about catch, and your point about the difference between quota and catch is important. So I would still feel like this motion on the table does take into account the current ABCs because that's how we've drafted them. This should be considered within the range. Something that didn't consider the constants would be outside of the range of what we considered.
Mr. Ciccoloni.
That answers that very important question. Thank you, Jamie. For that.
Okay, anyone else from the public? Back to the council on the motion to amend. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I just want to be very clear on this. Whether the council passes the underlying motion or my motion to amend, the catch advice, the ACLs for fishing years 2023 and 2024 will be the same. This motion does nothing to change the catch advice for the next 2 years. It's looking in the out years. That is the intention of my motion, and I want to make sure that I've got it right before I vote on it. So I see you nodding your head, Jamie, but that is my intention, and I want to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, you are correct.
Thank you.
Ms. Griffin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'd abstained at committee when the 70% came up because I'd wanted to consider a middle of the range option given the less than significant difference between 70% and 75% MSY. And excuse me, as Mr. Smith commented, you know, 50% FMSY is just too punitive to the fishery where we have such uncertainty around natural mortality and 2018 year class and non-fishery drivers of rebuilding. So I think thinking holistically about the rebuilding plan and measures to support rebuilding, I agree with the regional administrator that the best move we can make is to ensure more robust rebuilding likelihood. So I do support this amendment.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else from the council? Ms. Etrie.
Thank you. My brain is a little stuck on Plan B Smooth's discussion from earlier, so I'm functioning a little bit slower. Just to make sure I understand this, and I know Mr. Smith just reiterated it, so the ABC for the current ABC in 2022 and the ABC in 2023 and 2024 will be constant at, I think you said, 551 or 521, I wrote quickly. And then in 2025, presumably, knock on wood, wherever there is some, we will have an Atlantic cod research track complete and conduct a management track assessment and set new specifications for whatever our understanding of cod is based off of that work. So we don't know what 2025 will be because that would be tied to the ongoing research track concluding and going into the management track.
We'll have hopefully have a stock assessment and for a 2025 ABC. So whether that's for the current stock or some future makeup of that stock, and then, you know, that, I think that's really the SSC's point to the PDT is that we have to be ready to pivot to whatever comes out of that, and, you know, is that going to be three rebuilding plans, one, we're not sure right now. So,
just, again, to be clear that in what we currently have with specifications, our third year 2023 is 2024. Just again, I'm processing slow and trying to decipher this. So, okay, thank you.
Doctor?
Yes, it is. It's 2022, 2023, and 2024 were set in Framework 63 as a constant approach. The goal of the SSC and the council at the time was to promote stock rebuilding and to prevent the likelihood of overfishing on the stock. And so, as we've discussed through the committee, continuing that recommendation makes sense here. And it actually leads to slightly lower fishing mortality rates than what is in what's being proposed on the screen.
Mr. Salerno, then Mr. Pierdenock.
Sorry, I'm all set. Thank you.
Mr. Pierdenock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The original motion, the RAP recommended that motion. It was the middle ground among the three options that were proposed. It's MSA compliant, greater than 50% probability of achieving BMSY, and it was a reasonable compromise among the three. I also supported that option. As we've heard today, as well as yesterday, and we've heard the past several months or now, is that the observations on the water are inconsistent with the surveys. And in this instance, the recreational for-hire community fishing, the Massachusetts state waters, Stellwagen, east of the bank, all the way east of the Cape Cod and Nantucket Shoals, have seen the conservation measures resulting in zero cod possession a few years ago to basically a one cod possession per person 2 weeks in April and the month of September and slightly into October. Those measures have resulted in the rebound of the stock in all sizes, and we're seeing more of them in increased numbers in Massachusetts state waters and in federal waters. So if such wasn't the case, I personally would not be able to support the initial option. But those are the observations there. We wish there was a mechanism for the recreational, for hire, and commercial fleet for our observations to be taken in consideration as an additional lines of evidence of the status of the stocks, but we're not at that point now. But it is all not doom and gloom. We're seeing positive measures. We're seeing positive signs on the water. And I just wanted to point that out. I support option one because that was a reasonable compromise. And I just question with the amendment option whether that's too much, too conservative. And once again, getting back to all of these are MSA compliant. They greater than 50% probability of achieving BSMY, and it's I looked at it as a regional compromise. You heard today there's a frustration by many with that disconnect with what we see on the water, and that's a subject for another time to be addressed, but hopefully it can be addressed sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Mr. Tracy.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just want to get clear. The only way any of these numbers come into play, whether it's 60, 70, 50, 75, is if the stock assessment is not on time for 2025. Is that correct? Right. I mean, I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to connect the conversations when we made the change about not changing 2023, 2024, and then waiting for the stock assessment that would set new numbers, which the percentage would apply to. If I'm way off on that, then you can tell me, and I can. But I want to. I'm trying to understand how to vote here.
Typically, we have stock assessments for each of the stocks every other year. In this case, I think what was outlined is we would have a management track. I don't think this has been fully approved by the NRCC yet, but in the spring of 2024 for 2025 catch advice. And so whatever comes out of the research track and that new management track that follows will then consider the stocks structure work that the research track is considering in its development of different modeling approaches and the catch advice that comes out of that. So I think that is the case. Now, if for some reason we still had the current stock units and those were rerun, then we would be looking to a update of the current assessment approaches to develop catch advice for 2025. It's unusual for us to use the stock assessment information for a fourth year, but it has been done on occasion when we run into some challenges. The SSC doesn't usually like that approach because now you're projecting far out from the terminal year. At that point, it would have been 2021 or 2020, excuse me. So that's like 5 years out on a projection. But there have been some cases in the past for groundfish where we had to do that.
I appreciate the answer. Thank you.
I have Mr. Smith. Go ahead, Doctor. And I have Mr. Smith and Ms. Etrie.
A question on the motion, just reading it now. It still reflects option B. Is this meant to replace option B in the document, or is it actually adding in a new option and then selecting that as preferred? If you keep option B in, then we have that analysis of the 70%. I just want to double check that I understand it correctly.
Mr. Smith.
If I understand correctly, option B is the rebuilding timeline of 10 years?
All of the options share a rebuilding timeline of 10 years. Option A is at 50%, option B is at 70, and option C is at 75. So I think what you might be trying to do is add an option D at 60%, and then also selecting that as the preferred. As this reads now, it sounds like you want to remove the 70% and substitute it with the option with what you have here. just double checking that I understand what you're trying to do.
What I want is the F target to be set at 60% of FMSY. What, so whatever the best way to do that is in this motion, if we want to get rid of the option B and just say we're not picking an option, our preferred alternative is a 10-year rebuilding program ending in 2033 with an F rebuild of 60% FMSY, I whatever serves best is what I want. But it, the one thing I do just want to clarify on that, so as a follow-up to Mr. Tracy's comment about the next assessment, and so I'm clear, the difference between the two motions is whether our target F rate is 0.104 or 0.121, correct? It's basically the difference between 0.12 and 0.10 is our target F rate, only difference between the two. Is that correct, Jamie?
Mr. Penny?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's an issue of semantics, but I guess what I'm trying to clarify is right now the calculation of 0.7 of 70% of FMSY is 0.121, but that could change in a future assessment. The way I look at this is what we're saying is the rebuilding strategy is F rebuild be set at 60% of FMSY, yes, which several years from now under a new assessment might be different from 0.104. But that would remain the rebuilding strategy.
That is my intention.
Okay, so does the option B survive or not?
I think it should be as and select as preferred.
Hang on. Yeah, what works for you, Doctor? What works for you to get to where Mr. Smith thinks he wants to be?
A couple of things. It is exactly as the regional administrator described. We're looking at the percent of FMSY, and that numerical estimate could be updated in a future assessment, but it's the percent of FMSY that's the important key here. And so the value, the calculation based on the recent stock assessment, that could be updated in another stock assessment. This has been the procedure we've been using now with the SSC for several rebuilding plans. I think it would be more straightforward if it's a new option in the document that the council then selected as preferred. Certainly it's within the range. But if you now change it, then we're going to have to remove all that 70% analysis that we did, right? So it's up to you.
So it should be option D.
That works for me.
Mr. Bellavance.
So if I understand what Dr. Cronin is looking for, I think we would want to move that the council add and select as preferred under this section option D. Because we're adding an alternative, and then we're selecting that alternative as our preferred.
Thank you.
Okay, can we capture that? Okay, very good. Mr. Smith, are you all good with that? Okay, I have Miss Etrie and then Miss Griffin. Wait, hang on. I'll give you a minute. Take a deep breath. Mr. Penny.
All right, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, my earlier intervention was just in response to the F question, but I had a comment which was just maybe. Sorry for reminding everybody if you're already fully aware of this, but I did just want to remind everybody that, you know, the reason we're having this conversation is that under the Magnuson Act, we were forced to send the council an inadequate progress determination letter, which is what prompted the council under the Magnuson Act to devise a new rebuilding plan. And, you know, in that letter, we encouraged the council to consider any other measures that would be possible to promote rebuilding of Gulf of Maine Cod. I was remain concerned that the underlying motion here is really not very different from the plan that needs to be revised. The inadequate progress determination was made based on an F rebuild target of 75% FMSY. So ratcheting that down 5% to 70% as I said earlier, without any additional measures to promote rebuilding. I remain concerned that that's not strong enough to meet the obligation that we have under the Magnuson Act. Mr. Smith's motion to amend, I think, addresses what we need to go. It covers the gap. There's no additional measures proposed, but it does provide a stronger case for, you know, changing the F rebuild from 75% to 60%, I think, is a stronger approach. As it's been said, it does not change the ABCs for 2023 or 2024. It would change the ABC. It would affect the ABC for 2025. But, of course, with the stock stock work that's being done, it may, all of that may be moot if we get different stock determinations or definitions. But as a fallback, we would have a stronger, more defensible rebuilding plan for Gulf of Mancog. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pentney. Ms. Eitri, and then Ms. Griffin.
I understand the intent behind this motion, and I appreciate the additional statements that the RA just made. I am currently inclined to support the motion to amend with the clarification that it's a new option, option D. But in doing so, I need to very strongly, yet again, articulate the importance of the Atlantic Cod research track to stay on whatever its current schedule is and get the data that it needs to stick to that schedule, to stick to the schedule currently being proposed for the modified schedule, because we're making this recommendation slightly on the fly at 4:30 in the afternoon after a very long discussion trying to comprehend the implications of it. And as it was noted in the audience, it's definitely catching folks off guard trying to understand the implications of it. And for myself included, I'm doing it with the expectation and the understanding that by finishing the Atlantic Cod research track and going through that management process, we will find ourselves in a much more informed place for all of the cod stock structures, whatever they may be. So I can support this, but it has to be strongly, firmly indicated that this is all predicated on the research track not having more delays or perpetual delays in the process. Thank you.
Ms. Griffin.
My hand was up just to try to help with option B, D, so that's done.
Anyone else from the council to the motion to amend? Okay, seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion to amend from the council? Seeing none, is there any abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes by consent. It becomes a main motion. Any further discussion? Any further action? Ms. Cornane.
I did get confirmation that this would result in a 70% probability of achieving BMSY by 2033, excuse me, from fellow PDT members.
Okay, we can reflect that in the motion, I'm assuming. Okay. Well, a motion passed, Jeff. I mean, what do you want to do? That's the main motion. Yep. Yeah, it's the main motion. That is correct.
I just want to make sure with staff that, so now it's a new option. It's called option D. I want to make sure incorporation of this into the framework and selection as a preferred alternative will not delay completion of the framework.
Staff has a lot of work to do after final action today, and I think just reflecting on all of the different things that are coming before us, there is going to be some time preparing the document after the council meeting for submission, irrespective of this motion. And so I think I hope that you can all work toward final action in each section today so that we can work through the tasks and get them ready for the agency as soon as we can.
Okay. Any further discussion on what is now the main motion? Any opposition to the motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes by unanimous consent. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to turn back over to Dr. Cornan for the next section of her presentation.
We're just switching back over, so give us a second. All right, very good. So this next section is action to revise specifications. We're going to break it up a little bit and talk about alternative two and then alternative three. So alternative two is the setting of OFLs, ABCs, and subsequent ACLs. There's also a section on the management uncertainty buffer. And then alternative three is about the Georgia's Bank COD catch target. And you consider that after this discussion, just to break it up a little bit because it is a lot of information. So under this section, we have most groundfish stocks would be getting specifications for the next 3 years. There would be TACs for the U.S. Canada areas and specifically for Eastern Georgia's Bank Cod and Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder, and a U.S. TAC for Eastern Georgia's Bank Haddock that we'll talk about from the committee. There are also two sub-options in this section. Option A is three different ABC alternatives for Georgia's Bank Cod for the next 2 years. Option A1 is 754, option A2 is 904. And option A3 is in the middle and was added by the committee on Friday at 8:29. Also, option B, we have the removal of management uncertainty buffer for sectors for certain allocated stocks if next year, and only for next year, the ASM target coverage rate is set at 90% or greater. This is something modified by the committee at the committee meeting, and so some of the motions you see from the panels are prior to that discussion. This is only for two stocks. Both of them can be chosen, or one or the other, Gulf of Maine Haddock and White Hake. I'll walk through the recommendations as we get to them. They're a little bit complicated, so there you go. So what would the specifications be if you accepted the work of the committee? Here is the draft specifications for just the commercial fishery, and here we're comparing the present fishing year to what is being proposed in the framework. You see under Georgia's COD, it says see options. There's a lot, so we couldn't put them all in this table. But the ones that I want to highlight for you today are things that you've talked about already. The big declines coming for Georgia's Bank Haddock and Gulf of Maine Haddock, over 80% change. Some of the increases we're seeing are on the flatfish by and large. The decline for White Hake is also noted. And on the non-allocated side, the bigger discussion we've been having is on Atlantic halibut. When looking at the other fisheries, we're also seeing these big declines coming for Gulf of Maine Haddock for the recreational fishery. No change to the Gulf of Maine Cod. ACL, you just talked about that. The ABC is not changing. The sea scallop fishery, you'll hear more tomorrow about the sea scallop specifications, but we are seeing some declines in their ACL available for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder, a slight increase for Southern New England Yellowtail Flounder, and no change from the Windowpane sub-ACL set in last action. For the midwater trawl, mid-Atlantic herring fishery, they have a sub-ACLs for both haddock stocks, and like the other sub-ACLs, they're declining by 80%. And the small mesh fishery will see a decline in its sub-ACL for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder and a slight uptick in the other component, which we use to evaluate the AMs in Southern New England, Mid-Atlantic, Southern southern windowpane flounder, which prominently impacts summer flounder and scut fisheries that use a large mesh that are non-ground fish. I've got a series of flowcharts to talk about what the committee's recommendations mean for each fishery and some of the decision points for today. So the first one is on Georges Bank cod. This has become a little messy compared to the last time you looked at this. The committee is considering three possible ABCs and three possible U.S. ABCs. What's available for the U.S. fisheries is shown under each of those numbers. The Canadian TAC, so that's in the U.S. area, is 385. So we know that part, and that's where the deduction comes. So, for example, under the 904, you take the 385 away, you come up with the 519 available for U.S. fisheries. So the big question is, which of those numbers, which for the ABC? And then the second question, which we'll get into after this, is how much do you set aside for the recreational catch target? All of that is that analysis leads us to what's available for the commercial fishery. All the way on the right-hand side, that commercial fishery ABC is reduced by a 5% management uncertainty buffer. So it matters like how high the ABC is, how high the catch target is, to what's available for the commercial fishery. So going right along to the next big topic was Georges Bank haddock. And you all have received the report now from the TMGC that indicated that they did not reach an agreement on Eastern Georges Bank haddock. So the committee worked with the PDT to try to develop a strategy for a catch assumption this year for Georges Bank haddock in the eastern area that the Canadians would catch. Our catch assumption that we used was 2,320, and that is the quota that Canada indicated that it would set on its own. We don't know if they'll actually catch that or set that, so that is an assumption. It's not a given. So when we take that number, we deduct that from the ABC, that leaves about 11,900 available for U.S. fisheries. We don't put anything in the state water component. We put a small amount for other fisheries. We then take that, what's available, apply a 7% buffer. The midwater trawl ABC is 2% of the U.S. ABC, and then they have a 221 metric ton sub-ACL. And then what's available for U.S. fisheries and commercial fisheries is 11,080. The committee also discussed what it would like to set into the eastern area for the U.S. So you'll see that in parentheses. That's the Eastern Georges Bank TAC the committee is proposing of 1,520. They'd like to set something aside for U.S. fisheries there, independent of the U.S. Canada process. All right, now on to another allocation that is important to discuss today, and that's Gulf of Maine haddock. As you know, there's been a... I'm looking at the wrong screen. There we go. So earlier today, you heard the OFL and the ABC. Now I'd like to show you how that breaks down by fishery. There is some amount that we're estimating state waters fisheries and other fisheries will catch, and that's in the subcomponent portion. Off the ABC, the recreational fishery has a percentage of that, and then that results in a 610 sub-ACL. Midwater trawl also has a small amount for sub-ACL, and that's 18 metric tons this year. And then what's available for the commercial fishery under this allocation is about 1,148 metric tons. The committee asked for additional relevant information to be provided, if time permitted and acceptable, on Gulf of Maine haddock. So I have a few more slides on Gulf of Maine haddock to help the council today with the committee's work. And first thing to note is that we've seen this big shift in the ABC and the OFL subsequent to the research track as well as the peer review. One thing that the PDT notes and that was discussed during the SSC meeting and in the report is that overfishing is occurring on the stock in the terminal year, and it's possible is already occurring in this fishing year. The new OFLs and ABCs reflect the latest science and that change and that decline. And here you can see that in a tabular form, where the catch estimate at the time the PDT was making for the full fishing calendar year was 3,912. You know, if that was actually what happened, that could be a situation where we may already be experiencing overfishing. We also wanted to just show you what the projection looked like under 75% FMSY. What was the fishing mortality rate and spawning stock biomass associated with that? And we realized that this is a very important commercially valuable fishery. Here's the trend right now in season of at the time when we prepare this analysis of where Gulf of Maine haddock is relative to recent catches, and also the history of the recreational fishery for the past few years. We've been seeing a decline in their catches as well. There's a lot of